Welcome to Global River Church's Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoyed today's message. For more information about this podcast and additional resources, please visit globalriver.org.
Well, today is Generational Sunday, and I wanted to take this time. First of all, how many children know what Palm Sunday is? What really is Palm Sunday? Come on, hold on, Jay. What are we celebrating on Palm Sunday? Actually, it was 7 days, but you're right. So what were they doing? They were celebrating? Yeah. Levi, what do you got? Well, what else were we doing?
Was it when they threw the palms on the floor?
Yeah.
With all their shirts
and
stuff, so you could walk on?
Yeah. And what was he riding on?
A donkey.
Can you guys show me that picture that I sent to you before? So he's riding on a donkey, and does anybody know what they were saying? Were they celebrating? They were happy, right? Joy? In fact, let me share this with you. It says, and this is actually all four Gospels account this. So I want you to see this. This is my granddaughter. And that's our donkey at the farm. That's Maria. And there's another picture. She loves her donkey. They love their ponies and their horses. Has anybody ever ridden a donkey? Oh, okay. You have, huh? So here's what was happening. In Luke's gospel, in chapter 19, it deals with this. Jesus was actually the week before. Think about this. Jesus had a really good friend. His name was Lazarus. And Lazarus died, and he was in a tomb. And Jesus had really good friends of Lazarus's sisters, Martha and Mary. And they sent a note to Jesus, they sent a message to Jesus. Come on, Jesus was healing people. And he didn't come right away. When he gets there, Lazarus, anybody know how long Lazarus was in the grave?
4 days. 4 days?
Yeah. Can you imagine? He's in a grave for 4 days. It was like a cave. And so Jesus shows up and he actually declares, Lazarus, come on out. And Lazarus is raised from the dead. Now, you think that's a miracle?
Yeah.
Well, people see it and they go tell everybody that they saw. You wouldn't believe what we saw. That happens 1 week before riding in on the donkey. So people heard Jesus is coming riding on a donkey colt, and they said, it's the guy, it's the one who raised the dead. That must be the Messiah. So they declare, Hosanna in the highest, blessed is he, blessed is the king that comes. That would be awesome. Guess what? The children came as well. So when we look at celebration of when families come together, Palm Sunday was a time when all the families, come on, get the king, get your palms out, lay your cloaks down. And they declared, well, Jesus rode in on the donkey. But you don't normally see a king riding on a donkey, right? They usually come in on a white horse with all this, you know, they got their swords and the armies behind them. The first time Jesus came, he came really quiet and humbly. But the next time he comes back, you know how he's coming back next time? With an army of kings, and from the King of Kings, he's going to ride in on a white horse. Revelation 19 says he's coming in as the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory, stamped on his thigh, and the armies of God. And if you're in the army of God, because you're a believer, you're going to be with him. That's going to be some time. Is that exciting? All the warriors. We got warriors, right? Jesus. So we thank the Lord for that. I wanted to share a couple of things. If you'll pull out your handout, your outline, but you kids can just listen to this. Do you realize that every generation, every time more children are born to the older generation, the younger generation comes up, Jesus made a point. He wanted you to know how important you are. And do you realize that you one day could be the leaders of a church, leaders of an organization, moms and dads, business leaders, teachers, nurses, doctors? We don't know what God's got in plan for you, but this is what he did tell us. You could get all that, and if you don't love Jesus and you don't know about Jesus, then we failed. In fact, we're in big trouble. Parents, grandparents, fellow believers, we are the ones that are in trouble. Let me just read a couple of these things. The first handout bullet is there. Jesus says this in Psalm 78. Let each generation, that's you guys, and its children, tell the children of the mighty acts. So we just talked about a mighty act of Jesus raising a dead man, which then caused people to like celebrate. He's got to be God. Tell them of the mighty acts. Listen to stories and ancestors. Hand them down. Don't hide these truths from our children. Show the mighty powers and wonders. He commanded. When Jesus says, do it, you better do it. He commanded in the Old Testament to the next generation. That's why we need people to volunteer in our children's ministry, right? We have Vacation Bible School. Last year was so amazing. How many people participated in Vacation Bible School last year? I've been in a lot of Vacation Bible Schools in all of my church times. That was the most. I would encourage you, don't miss out. Be a part of the volunteer. It was absolutely incredible. He commands that next generation so that each generation would have hope in God. Do you guys have hope in Jesus? You got hope in Jesus? Yeah. Next one he says, this is in Psalm 22. Future generations, that's you guys. I'm a lot older than you guys. How old are you?
9.
11.
8.
11.
14.
Okay, so we got, you're the younger generation, this generation. So we're supposed to tell you, make sure that you know about Jesus. Make sure future generations hear the wonders of God. Those acts should be told to ones not yet even born. Tell the next generation. So when you go to school, and you should tell the next generation. He goes to the next bulletin in Matthew 18, 3 through 5. He says, we were to become like little children. In humility and trust, we will never get into the kingdom of heaven. We must welcome a child on behalf. And Jesus said, if you welcome a young child. So let me ask this. I get some feedback. Why do you guys worship up here? You dance, right? Why do you dance?
For Jesus.
Amen. Why do you guys flag?
Because we're always worshiping Jesus.
You're worshiping with flags. Right. So I get criticism sometimes because people probably don't understand. Why do you have all these like kids up front with these flags? I've heard it's really distracting. What about the little child that almost fell off the front thing here? And that's distracting. Well, Jesus said, suffer the little children to come unto me. And by the way, let me read this one to you. Actually, we opened the service with Jay and Elizabeth. This fourth bullet down, it says, one day, parents brought their children to Jesus so he could lay hands on them and pray for them. Jesus' disciples, they scolded the parents. Can you imagine that? Your parents would bring them to the pastor. Don't bother Jesus. Don't bother him. Jesus says, basically, what are you doing? What do you mean? And he tells his disciples, basically, be quiet. Bring these children up here. Let the children come to me. Why? Don't stop them. For the kingdom of heaven belongs to those who are like the little children. And Jesus then placed his hands on them and he blessed them. So Jesus is encouraging them. So some people would say, well, why don't you just like some churches where I've been in, let those children go to their, we adults got to worship here. Get those children in that, let them do their thing and let them do children's ministry there. And I'm not trying to be critical, but the reason we start worship with children in our midst is I want them to watch you and us worshiping God. Like, that's how we do it. There's this It's more than stories in your head. It has to be relational. How many times I've heard of kids go off to college that have been in church all the time and they lose their faith because they have stories about God, but there wasn't an experience about God. There wasn't a relationship about God. And so I want us to understand the reason we worship together is so that we worship together. And if you're a little distracted by flags or maybe you've been whacked by a flag, just close your eyes. It'll be all right. Right, but I want you to understand the thought process behind what we do and why we do it. Right, I remember we were doing.
We should also know that we can learn from the children.
Yeah, right. Study them. This was amazing. We would regularly do what was called National Day of Prayer and Global Day of Prayer several years ago. So there were many, many churches that came together in this big auditorium in another location, and we were doing the Global Day of Prayer. And so they had selected a worship team, and when worship started, one of our, I think she was 7, 8, I don't know, somewhere around that age, she got up and she just started dancing. And all the people was like, what is she doing? Why is she doing that? She didn't know any better. She had been raised in a worship environment where you just freely worship God. You ever watch Izzy? Where's Izzy? Where is she? There, oh, your sister. She probably, well, anyway. She's the one that comes up and just freely dances a lot. Sometimes she closes her eyes. She does make me a little nervous. Last Sunday, she was getting close to the edge with her eyes closed. And so, what's the point? The point is, biblically, if you wonder about flags, I remember the first time I walked in here in my three-piece suit from another church, invited in, and I thought, I saw the flags, and I saw this, I don't know if this is God or not. And then I read the scriptures. Do you realize that flags, they call them all kinds of things, banners, they call them ensigns in the scriptures? You can look these up, but Psalm 20 verse 5 says, raise your banner. Every tribe had a marking. It assembled the armies. How about your flag of your nation? What does that represent? Right? So this idea of worshiping flag. In fact, David hired in the Old Testament during the tabernacle, he hired singers and dancers and musicians and flaggers, and they worshiped the King of Kings. So I realize that children can be a little unruly, but God likes it. When I get all my grandkids, I got 15 great-grands, and all. When we all get together at various times, they can be silly, they can be foolish, and guess what? I can get to be just as foolish, right, Katie? Yeah. And so, I believe. Yeah. Well, let's not go into any details. And so, but the point is, I believe Jesus likes it when they suffer the little children to come to me. So I just want you to have an understanding of why we do what we do. And I believe it's biblical, and I believe the Lord wanted it. So I want to tell you a story. You guys can open in 2 Chronicles. When were the times that families got together? For we know Palm Sunday was the day. When Jesus starts riding in on the donkey colt, all the family members came out. Children, they all came out celebrating. But here's another one. Have you ever been really scared? I have been. This times it happens when. What should you do when you get scared? Pray. Who are you praying to?
Praying to Jesus and God to take the scary out.
Amen. That's it. Exactly. And so that can happen when it's sometimes at night or when you call on the name of Jesus. Call on the name Jesus. Just one word. I've seen things happen when that happens. When I was in the hospital, there were things happening. I called out to Jesus. And so when we come together as a family, all together, every generation, little children. So I want to tell you a story that happened in the book of 2 Chronicles. If you'll open that, here's a story of when a whole group of people in the nation of Judah under the king, Jehoshaphat. That's a funny name, right? King Jehoshaphat. In fact, your outline doesn't even spell it right because they don't know how to spell check that name. But you get it. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. So listen to this story. There was a king, and his name was Jehoshaphat, and it was the Jewish people in Judah. And it starts out in verse 1 of 2 Chronicles 20, a gigantic army. Can you imagine multiple armies? And it lists them all there. And they came and they declared war against Jehoshaphat and Judah. So what if you got a word, all of a sudden a message came and said, King, there's an army that is so big, bigger than your army could ever stand, and they're coming and they're going to get you, they're going to get your children, they're going to get you. What would you do? Would you start praying? Yeah. Well, here's what Jehoshaphat did. He realized we don't have the strength of our own army to defeat them. So what he did is he said, he ordered everyone. So the king said this. This is in verse 3. Jehoshaphat was terrified. You know what terrified means? Really, really scared. That's like super scared. I'm like, well, there's like scared. And then it's like, oh, man, we're in big, big trouble. They're going to come. They're going to ruin our city. They're going to take us. I'm scared for my children. I'm scared. Jehoshaphat came to the Lord, and he ordered everyone in Judah to start fasting. What's a fast? Somebody tell me what a fast is.
A fast is where you don't eat to spend more time with God.
Yeah. Or it could be you turn off your screens. Like, what? You turn off stuff, and what you do is you spend time. So you could have a food fast. You could have, there's a fast of watching television. But the point of a fast is, God, I got to spend time with you. Maybe some of you guys like to walk in the woods. Maybe you like to put on worship music. However you get quiet with God. But in that fast, it's like, God, I need your help. So here's the king, and he tells him, I want all the mother. Let's say something really bad was going to happen in our city. Sometimes we gather, if a storm is coming, like a hurricane, we'll actually gather together. The night that I was in the hospital and they thought I was going to die, one of our leaders got together. Lance, he said, we're going to open up the church and we're going to pray for Pastor Tom. I was in a coma. I was completely out. People came together and fasted their time to pray for me. And here I am healed. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, right? So we see a fast is like, so the king gets together and goes, this army's coming and he's going to hurt us and I'm really scared. Get your children, get your wives, get everybody together. Come into the city right now and we're going to pray. And they started fasting, even the little ones. The whole family got together and prayed and said, God, you got to help us. Help us. What do we do? In the middle of that prayer, they're praying. And a person stands up, and this is what he says. He gives a word on how you are to win this fight. Now, they don't have a big enough army to win the fight. God could do it a lot of ways, but here's what he did. He calls out, and he says, anytime we've been in trouble in the past, all of our grandparents, our grandma, our mother, they always prayed to you, and you came. So, Lord, we need you to do it again. So they prayed again. He reminded God that you have been our Savior. Then he goes on and says, this man stands up, and it's a prophetic word. It's a strategy. You ever pray for something and God tells you how to do it? Yeah. And so that's what he does. It says in verse 15, listen, all you people of Judah. Listen, King Jehoshaphat, listen. So now this man stands up. Hey, King, you want to know what to do? Here's what you do. Don't be afraid and don't be discouraged by a mighty army and a battle. It's not your fight. Would you like Jesus to fight for you? You know how many angels he's got? Oh, my gosh. Woo! We've been in places where there's really bad things and the devil stuff that's there and the enemy's coming. And we've seen those people hit the dirt crying out, oh, God's got a lot of power. And so he tells him, don't you be afraid, King. Don't worry about that army. The battle's not yours. Wow. Okay, well, what do we do then? Do we stay here in the church and pray? What should we do? He tells him to do this. They all began to worship the Lord. And then they said, early the next morning, here's what we're going to do. In fact, there's a really neat, wonderful statement here. Verse 17 says, you won't even need to fight. You won't have to, if you were in the army and you had your weapon, he's going to say, you don't even need to bring your weapon. You don't have to worry. Now, that would be a little strange, right? In those days, they carried swords. It's like, you won't even need your sword. It's like, did you know that's a big army out there? He says, you won't even need to take a fight. But here's what they were told to do. Take your position. King James says it this way. Set yourselves, stand still, and you will see the salvation of the Lord. What does it mean to set yourself? It's like, take a position. Well, that means position yourself in the Lord. Keep praying, keep fasting, keep seeking. Well, guess what God does? They decide, let's take the worship team. Can you imagine? We got Emma and Nicole, and we had Kai, the Vincek family. We want you to go out in front of the army. So here we are, all of the army men, and we're all together. We're going to put the worshipers and the band out front, and they're going to go in front of the army. Now, just get a picture of this. You got a fierce army that is so big, and they have conquered a lot of people. And now you got this little army with King Jehoshaphat, and instead of sending the army out front, they put the worshipers and the dancers in front. The minute they start worshiping, guess what happens? The enemy starts fighting with each other. It's like they pull out their swords and they're fighting and killing each other. And so the Jewish army, they're coming like the worshipers. The moment they started worshiping, the Lord did something powerful, and he caused the enemy to be confused, and they started fighting each other. So when the Jewish army gets there, guess what they find? All the swords, all the bad armies, they're dead. It's like, and it took them 3 days to pick up all the stuff they had, their weapons. It's like they came home with all this stuff. And so what do you know from this? When you get scared, what's a good thing to do?
Pray.
Ask God. But then ask him for a strategy. It may be fasting. Parents, adults, you got something going on in your family? It would be awesome to pull your family together, even if they're not believers. You could gather them together. You know what? We're gonna fast and pray. Can we do that? Because they'll be motivated. There's something powerful in the scriptures where he says, call to me and I'll answer you. So this is this desire. When we see major things happening, like what's going on right now in the earth, there are things going on. If a storm's coming against, how many times have we prayed the hurricanes that were supposed to come here? And we prayed. In fact, some of our people go to the beach and they say, Lord, in the name of Jesus, don't let this thing happen. I remember one of our storms, I don't remember which one, that thing veered off and went out to the ocean. I'm like, what? You have not because you ask not. So getting to know Jesus, getting Jesus in your heart, not just the stories that everybody knows. What are some stories that you've heard about in the Bible?
I've heard of Lazarus, and I've heard of the storm.
When Jesus walked on the water, or when he calmed the sea. Can imagine that story, right? Jesus in a boat with these fishermen. I've been on the Sea of Galilee, but this storm was so bad, they're in a boat and they're rowing and the water's coming over. And Jesus shows up and says, peace, be still, and the waters got all calm. What about Noah? What was that story about? Anybody know what happened with Noah? Anybody else? You heard about the flood? What did you hear about the flood and Noah?
He built an ark.
Yes, he did.
And he saved all the animals.
And he saved the animals. And he saved 8 people. God, because it got really bad in the earth, but Noah was a man who loved God. And he prayed. And can you imagine working on a boat? It took him over 100 years to build a boat. And people always came and said, what are you doing that for? You're crazy. It's going to rain. So sometimes it looks foolish. How about Daniel in the lion's den? Can you imagine? Daniel was praying, and it was against the law to pray. And they set it up, so they threw Daniel in the lion's den. And in the morning, they went there, and the lions were still on the other side of the corner. And the people that wanted to put Daniel in there, the king threw them in there, and guess what? The lions ate them. Not a pretty picture, right? You don't want to get on the sideway of God. When God's on your side, you win. You remember that. When God's on your side, you win. So that's why you got to have God in your heart, right? So we know so many of those stories. It's one thing to have stories, but it's another thing. That's why here's my encouragement. When you're quiet, I don't know if you like to walk in the woods, play in the back, put on music, wherever, even at night, just talk to Jesus. Talk to him. He's your closest friend. You can know him like he's right here. It says closer than a brother. It's like, right, Jesus, I want to know you. I want to open my heart. Last week we had 12 people come when we shared. 12 people came to the front who wanted to give their lives to Christ or rededicate. People, all of us could give a story. We could take the whole day and into next week of the stories of how God saved us. Everyone's got a story. And some of us have had really hard things happen to us, right? Things that are sad, things that we don't understand. So this is where you become able to speak to Jesus. Let him be really close to you. Will you do that? Do you hear Pastor Tom's heart? I want this generation to be warriors, to be strong in the Lord, to not be ashamed of the gospel, to stand up and share your story. So that's the message today in Chronicles, was God is able to do more than we would think. So let me see if we summarize. When you get really scared, what are you going to do? We're going to pray. When you get quiet, what are you going to do?
Pray.
And what are you going to ask? Yeah, to God to come in my heart. Just like, Lord, I want to know you more. And so there is no difference. When you become born again, there's no little Holy Spirit. When you get born again, the Holy Spirit comes in you. And so today, here's what we're going to do. We had a word, Pastor Willie felt, that we should have children under the age of 10 come over and pray for David. Is that okay? So I want all the children under 10 to come on over. David is so special to us, a brother, and he's been fighting this sickness, and he wanted to come today. So I want everyone who's under 10, come and you put your hands on David. So the Bible says, a little child shall lead them. And it also says, Pastor Willie, come on over. It says, if anyone is sick, let them call for the elders and let them anoint with oil. And so, Lord, right now, Father, we thank you. David has been fighting this battle. And so, Lord, we want to stand in agreement. You're a God who's miracles, and we're here this morning, and we're calling out for you, Lord, to come. Lord, would you take away this cancer and heal his body, every part of his entire system, that everything would work. He would be able to eat food, and he would be able to process. And God, we just come, and we thank you. Thank you, God. Would you, children, pray? Just pray for Jesus to come. Pray.
Come, Jesus. Please make David. Mr. David to feel better and have a great life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yeah. Amen, amen, amen.
It's really good.
You want to say it's your prayer? Okay, in English.
Jesus, just come and heal Mr. David so that he'll feel better. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Oh.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, come on.
Lord, I pray that David will feel better in the name of Jesus, and that anything not of God is out, and that you will fill him by the blood of Jesus when he died on the cross for us.
Lord, heal Mr. David so that he will feel better.
So, Lord, I thank you that The Bible says if any's sick, we could lay hands on them. In fact, it says in Mark's Gospel chapter 16, there'll be a sign that will follow believers. We got all these young believers right here. And Lord, we don't want to see any more suffering and pain here. We've been calling out to you. And these believers, it says, if you're a believer, these will be a sign. They could lay hands on the sick and they would recover. So Lord, right now, anything that's causing this, it's been said, Lord, take it away. And we thank you, Lord, for doing that in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Lord, I just thank you for David. I thank you, Lord, that you're not done yet, God. I thank you, Father God, that this is just a test. And you said, Lord, no test, no testimony. So Satan, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. Get out of my spiritual, Father, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, they could be able to eat. We thank you, Lord God, that all the systems will come back on. We thank you, Father, that these things that are in him, Lord, that are causing him to have pain and can't sleep and whatever, Lord, we just say, you are gone in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I thank you, God, he's going to have a smile again. I thank you, Lord, that you're going to restore this marriage even greater than it's ever been in the name of Jesus. And thank you, Father, for miracle after miracle. And I thank you, Lord, it's done. And I seal it in the name of Jesus. Yes. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, we lift up Kristen and Grace and Olivia. Lord, it's been hard on them too, watching this. So Lord, give them strength right now, Father. We thank you for what you're doing. Faithful. David wanted to come here. So anybody who's got an excuse about how hard it is to get to church? Yeah, come on. All right, this morning, we want to finish this morning with a time of prayer and encouragement. I want to turn it over to Lance and Amy. Is she here? Yeah, come on. We want to invite, this is a time of refreshing, actually. So, Lord.
Bless you, Lord. I just want to encourage you guys. As the kids were praying for David, there was genuine belief there. It wasn't, well, what if he doesn't? It is, he will. And today is not, this is the day that the Lord has made. And this is not a day for just the kids. It is a day for all of us to rejoice in the Lord,
yeah,
because he is good. And it is a day for everyone to experience the presence and the power of the mighty God. And so, how many saints do we have in the building? Yeah. There's something special that happens when the saints gather. There's something that happens when the saints gather and they pray for one another. And so we're going to do this, and we're going to do this cross-generational tonight, or today. We're going to do this cross-generational this morning because we're commanded to. Amen. Who wants to follow the commandments of the Lord? Yeah. So I think it would be really cool if we start off praying for the kids, but then I want the kids to start praying for us, older folks. How do you guys feel? How many needs a miracle? All right? How many needs a miracle? Kids, look around. You guys see how many people have
for
their hands
family,
up?
Family, children.
You see how many people have their hands up? Those are people that need prayer. Are you able to pray? Yeah. Which means you can pray for them. But first, we're going to let the saints bless you.
Hmm.
How does that feel?
Sounds good.
Yeah. So if you're a kid in the building today, right now, I want you to come up front, okay? I want you to come up front. Come on. Come stand up. Stand up. Saints, I want you to go ahead and stand too, okay? Kids in the building. Sue and Sam, I want you guys up here, please. These are children's leaders. It's just not Amy and I that made this happen today. There are a lot of people that came together with this vision. Okay. If you're a saint and you believe in Jesus, you're filled with the Holy Spirit, I want you to come up here and lay hands on these kids and pray for them. Kids, what do you do when you receive a gift? You receive it with your hands open? With your hands open. All of these saints, these adults, they're going to come and they're going to pray for you. They're going to pray great things. They're going to pray beautiful things over you. They're going to pray things that are good and of God and blessings from the Father who pours out all blessings. Yes. They're going to pray that His face will shine upon you. They're going to pray motherly blessings on you. They're going to pray fatherly blessings on you. They're going to pray that your feet would remain strong and straight on the narrow path to follow Jesus, to follow the Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Because narrow is the gate as well as the path. And you need straight faith.
Bless these
feet
children,
to stay
Lord.
On that.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you,
Spanish
God.
Church,
thank
join
you,
us. Pray for
Let
your
them
kids.
Let know who you are in Jesus'
This
name.
Is the next generation. Pray.
Lord, we just pray a blessing
You're a part
on
of
grace,
us.
Lord.
Come join.
On Liam, God. Bless him up, Lord.
We pray a blessing on them, Lord. That not just this generation, but 1,000 generations would follow you, Jesus.
Bless these children, Lord. Bless Levi, Lord.
That they would know
thank you.
The power
her, Lord,
of the one who died on the cross.
Bless these boys, Lord.
The power of the one who shed his blood for us.
Lord, set your hand upon them, Lord. Bless them, Lord.
Holy Spirit,
come with your presence.
Come. Come now in power. Come now in power.
Lord, I just thank you.
Come now in power.
Lord, bless them, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Jesus, Jesus.
Let your presence come.
So I saw a lot of hands up when people said they needed miracles. I saw a lot of hands up. And so if you need a miracle, you should be in the altar. If you need a miracle, you should be in the altar. Okay, because this is where we're laying hands on each other. This is where we're coming together. Okay? If you're not being prayed for, kids, I want you to find somebody that needs a miracle and pray for them. If you need a miracle and you see a kid standing and they don't know and they kind of look lost, grab the kid. Let them pray for you. Tell them that you need a miracle. If you want to tell them what it is, you can tell them what it is. But let them pray for you. We can be praying for each other, adults. We don't have to wait for the kids to come. Let's come together. This is what we call body ministry. This is the body coming together and ministering for with each other and for each other. And Jesus shows up because he is a God who is a God of his word. He does exactly what he says he will do. His promises are yes and amen. Guys, I want you guys to go pray for some people. Who needs a miracle? I got some kids here that want to pray for you. If you need a miracle, Jesus. And Lord, I thank you for every generation in this house right now. I thank you for the kids, the young adults. I thank you for the grandparents. I thank you for the ones that don't have kids, Lord. And Lord, we just bless them all in Jesus' name, Lord. For the families, for the mothers, the fathers, for the ones who are taking care of kids that are not their own. Lord, we just ask that you would gird them up with strength, Lord, that you would give them peace in their heart and strategy on how to be a good parent to these children and how to raise them up in the Lord so that the kids would not turn from you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for giving them strategy on how to disciple their children, because it's not up just to the church to disciple them, but it's up to the parents as well. So we just pray strength over the parents. For the ones who are looking at the bills, who are looking at the bank account, and they're saying, I don't know how I'm going to do this, Jesus. We pray for miracles to break out in their finances. As they submit their finances to you, Lord, we pray for miracles to break out in their finances, Jesus. For everything that was red to be in the black, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for the ones who have so much wisdom to pass down. And Lord, we just thank you that you would give them boldness and strength to pass down that wisdom. In Jesus' mighty name, Lord. Lord, there's so much to learn. There's so much gold in some of you. Lord, we just ask for boldness to come out of you so that we can get that gold. We need that gold that you have. So we just pray for everyone in this room today. This is generational. This is generational. We just thank you, Jesus, that you're smiling down and singing over us today, Lord. You're singing a song over us. We pray for the ones who have testimonies that they have been holding on to. We pray that you would give them boldness to share, Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray for every heart here. I pray for every heart here that they would come and truly know who you are, Jesus. They would know that you are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, like we sang about today. That there is none like you in the heaven. There's none like you on the earth. And there is none who is mighty to save as you are. We just pray that your blood wash over everybody in this room for healing. Jesus, for salvation. You are mighty to save. For the believer and the non-believer. Holy Spirit, I just ask that you woo the hearts today. Jesus, Jesus.
All right. So Miss Linda here, she has something that she wants to say and share. So if you're not praying, can we just have your attention real quick? She has something she wants to share real quick.
Good morning, y'all. Keep praying. But if you can hear me, I want to talk first to the children. I don't know how many of you children know what a horrible person I was after I left home. I was a person who hated people. I was a person who denied that there was a God because he didn't do what I wanted him to do. And many people think that in order to have a testimony for God, that you have to do something bad and he have to bring you back. But I want to tell you, that is not true because God is a God who can keep what he has started. And you children are in a place where God is being taught. And I saw that. You don't just love your teachers. You don't just do what your teachers do, tell you to do, but you do things because you love God and you know that he loves you. Yeah. And I want you to know that through all of your lives that God will keep you. You do not have to do like the prodigal son. You do not have to go astray. I don't care how bad things are. I don't care how much it looks like God's not doing what you want him to do. He is God, and he knows what is best for you. Don't let your teachers, don't let your friends, don't let anybody tell you that God is somebody that he is not. You know who God is. Keep him in your heart. Keep him ever before you. You don't have to go astray to show how much God loves you. God loves you as you are. He loves you, and you don't have to do anything bad to prove it. He proves his love by keeping you safe, by keeping you close to him, by keeping himself close to you. Don't ever give up on God, because he will never, ever give up on you. And parents, stop listening to people who tell you that you got to give your children a choice. The only choice you can give them is to love God or not to love God. And if you love your children, if you love your children, you will never, ever let them know that it's okay to do something that is wrong. You would never, ever let them have a choice of going around doing what others say to do. You don't have to let them listen to this mess that's out here. I tell people all the time that bankers tell what is counterfeit by always feeling what is true. They don't feel the counterfeit and then feel. No, they only touch real money. You let your children touch the real thing. You keep your children with the real thing. Get them off of this internet. Get them off of these things. Get them off of these screens and get them into the Word of God. And you stay in the Word of God so you will know what you're teaching your children. You will know what the teachers are teaching your children. And all of this stuff starts at home. Be for real with your children. Let them see you worshiping, let them see you studying, let them see you depending on God. And when they are old, don't people tell me that they'll come back? No, when they are old, they will not depart from what you have taught them. Teach them Jesus, live Jesus, love Jesus, and I guarantee you, God will keep them and He will keep you for thousands of generations. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Some of you don't know, this lady served in our children's ministry, I think over 20 years. Every Sunday for 20 years. Before that, she was part of Save Our Kids ministry. So somebody knows about battling for children and youth. So Lord, I thank you for Linda. Thank you for Linda. She's a Goodman. Linda Goodman, Lord, we just thank you right now, Father. We thank you for the message of a heart. You just heard the heart of a mama for children and the next generation. We don't need to give children the choice of darkness. No, show them the light in Jesus' name. And we bless her in Jesus' name, and we miss her.
We hope you are blessed by this message. We encourage you to tune in wherever you get your podcasts, and we invite you to come as you are and join us at Global River Church, Sundays at 10 a.m. Grace be with you in Jesus' name.